Welcome to Aspire and welcome to 4th of July. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly grateful you chose to be with me on this 4th of July. You probably have family and things to do today, and I'm grateful that you have allowed me to share a little bit of your day with you. And I thank you for your loving kindness. I really do. We're going to be talking about love today. Isn't that interesting? There's so many misnomers about love. There's so many strange things being, you know, said about love. What we're seeing in our culture, our society, is the unrest of a lack of love. There are places in the human heart which we do not understand. These places torment us. And then they are filled with all sorts of means of suffering that cause us to live our life in the ultimate sorrow of ignorance, indifference. I feel it so deep right now. This is a very exciting time in our lives where we have the chance to look not just at the stature of our country, but to look at the stature of the heart and how important it can play a role in our livingness and actually change our livingness to something much different than what we are experiencing currently. So I hope that you spend this day not in rejoicing about family, friends, and all of that, but take some time to quietly look within yourself and ask yourself, what is going on in my authentic? Do I have an authentic heart? Because that's what this is really all about, changing the modality of thinking of my emotions as love, as the receptors of love, as being love itself, and going a little deeper into a more profound experience that is love. It's very, very important. We do have places within us which do not seem to exist to our conscious mind, but deep within us, there they are. There is this reservoir of great love that is so profound. All right, let's go to the questions. I have three wonderful ones. It's interesting that with all this racial inequality and police brutality that we see, which a lot of us didn't know existed as violently and as much as it has over the years, which is annoying to me personally, probably is to you too, that we didn't know. The concepts of love have now started to crop up in some people, not all. Most people don't see all of this violence and cruelty with the police department as love, a matter of love. They see it as a matter of governing people through laws that simply have nothing to do with the state of love that lives within us. We're not loving people. We don't really care to love. It isn't our shtick. It isn't something that we gravitate towards, nor do we even appreciate nor understand. So let's take a look at love from the point of view of something maybe more beautiful, something more, shall we say, spiritual. Let's do that. First one comes from Marianne. She does not tell me where she lives. I see no love in this world at all or in our country. Now I don't know if it's even possible. What do you think, Marianne? Marianne, I'm going to be really blunt and truthful with you because yours is a great question. Honestly, it took great courage, I think, to write this. And wherever you live and whatever is the makeup of you, I honor it. Also, don't talk about this with your friends wherever you live, especially if you're in the South. Love is available to all of us. Okay, authentic love, the big L, not the little L, not the human love, the big L. And you can't convert little L into big L. I can't convert my human love into the great love that is your soul, the makeup of your soul. No one can do that. You have to abandon the human heart. So the answer to your question is it is highly unlikely that most people will see what I call the pandemic of injustice going on here. When you depend upon the government for anything, you're going to get screwed. And if you're going to depend upon the government for justice and love and kindness and compassion, forget it. It isn't going to happen. Because we the people are not interested in anything other than the pursuit of our own happiness. And we are ruthless in that pursuit. And because we are ruthless in the pursuit of our own happiness, which is our own gratification, we are going to say and do some outrageous things to human beings, and we're going to put them in a situation where it is anything but love. It is all about, I have to get mine before you get it. That kind of mentality, there are people, presidents we've had, Bush was one of them, a senior. I don't know about W. I don't know. I never heard much of him. I didn't want to. But I when he said in a campaign that the idea of trying to, shall we say, fight for your own competition was good for America, it isn't good. We don't need competition. We need cooperation. We need kindness. We need love. We need working together. We need to drop all of this other stuff. So when you're talking about love and the average person, you're going to find that you can't do it. There are individuals, maybe like yourself, I hope like you, who have a sense of the meaning of what it is to let and allow for a higher love, a more profound love, to have its way with you. There are places deep within us all that are unoccupied. These places are places of the manner of our spirit and how we're going to live in the manner of our spirit. Most people allow the collective unconscious to fill that up. And then before you know it, you're looking at yourself and you're spewing out all sorts of political, social, psychological garbage. You don't really know why, but you just keep spilling it out and you look at it and you hear it in yourself. You hear others do the same and you think you're all on the same page and doing the right thing. Love is not a concept. Love is not a thought. Marianne, you must understand this. It is a state of being that has found the presence of the soul within us. And instead of looking at human beings as flesh and blood, you and I would look at them as the state of their soul and respect it, love it, care for it, and help them with it. We don't talk to people from the heart to the heart, from soul to soul. We talk to them from body and brain and organs and flesh and blood, and that's as far as we go with it. Hence, we find the misery we see in this world. There are places in us where misery exists at such a degree that it is impossible for a person to sit down and really meditate, to look deep within themselves and ask, am I living this life in accordance with the love that I truly am? Most people can't do it. So you say, I see no love in this world or in our country. Now, I don't know if it's possible, is it? It will be possible on an individual basis. It will not be possible in a, shall we say, mass state, because people aren't interested in it. And when they're not interested, they're not interested. There is nothing you can do about it. What would it take to bring the world to a place of humility, the grace of loving one another. Well, we've had a pandemic, and we've had all this racial inequality and police brutality. Has that been enough? Evidently not. You don't see wild surges of people going to meditation, do you? No, because people can't do it. They'll say, I can't do it. How many emails have I had during this time where people are saying, I can't meditate, it's too hard, blah, 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 because they're consumed by their emotionality and they didn't take care of their minds during the course of their lifetime. And because they didn't, they lived off the bone and blood structure of intellect. Now they can't go beyond their intellect. They just fall off the map. Tell someone to go as far as they can with their thoughts and see how far they can go. They can't go anywhere. You are consumed by your thoughts, America, and you can't legislate love. It can't be done. So we're going to have this unrest, and I think it's a healthy unrest myself. I'm all for it. I'm a 60s guy, but I'm really all for it. And I'm not for the destruction or hurting people, but I'm for a constant unrest. And I want to just say this to you. There is going to be no political body or legislature or leader who is going to be able to lead people into love. It's just not going to happen. We have no more Gandhis. We have no more Dr. Martin Luther Kings. We just don't have them. That time is gone. And we didn't listen then as a race and as a world. And we're not going to be listening now. Now it is just the hardcore politics. And, well, anyway, there you are. Marianne, you asked. I thank you for your kind question. I thank you for your kindness. And please forgive me. Namaste. Everybody wants quick answers. We're kind of beyond that now. The next one comes from June, and she lives in Colorado. She listens to us via my website, and I'm grateful for that. And she says, Greg, is love for real? Just answer, June. June, it depends on what you call real. What part of your life do you call real? And what is real to you? How do you define real in your life? Are you talking about flesh, blood, bone? Are you talking about outer world? Are you talking about skin and people and emotionality, psychology? Is that what you're saying? I don't know. You don't give me enough to go on about what you think of as reality. But I can tell you this. The only thing that is real in this world and in the universe, the only thing that keeps this all going is love. It isn't the love you would like. It isn't the love you can understand. Not with your mind, your pedestrian mentality. You can't do it that way. Your mental acuity is toned and tuned into the collective, into what we would call the flesh and blood world, the outer world. And because our acuity belongs to that, it makes it very difficult for me and you to live our life in accord with the authentic love that has nothing to do with all of this flesh and blood stuff. So the reality of it all is, if you are deriving love from your body, if you are experiencing love from your mind, if you are living from the emotionality that gratifies, if you are looking for the warm and fuzzy stuff that makes you feel good about yourself and good inside, then that is not love. And that is not for real. Love is the only thing you can take with you through death. So you must start to ask yourself, if I were to die in this moment, would the love that I possess as emotionality, as the traditional kind of pedestrian mentality love, is that what Greg is talking about? No. And can I take that with me through death? No. No. Death is a state of eternity. And I say that you're not going to be dead forever. We're dead now for all intents and purposes, but it is the state of an eternity that we live with inside of ourselves as we incarnate over and over and over again into different forms, into different ways. So what I'm really saying to you here, which is very abstract and difficult for the average person to understand, is that authentic love is the presence of the soul that is taking me through the course of my lifetime. Or I can let my body take me through the course of my lifetime, being immune to the soul and never really listening to it, or being the person who gets some kind of actual authenticness from it. To me, reality is only what is authentic, not what is temporary. So I look at it from an entirely different point of view. If you live for the sake of love, real love, authentic love, you live for the sake of compassion and forgiveness, for the state of achieving a merciful point of view, a mercy that is pronounced and profound within you, which forgives and gives constantly and does not belong to the human body that is always trying to survive and find its pursuit of happiness. That is when you start to understand what love is. You ask, is love for real? It is authentic. Whether or not it is real depends upon you and how you live within yourself. I have had many students, June, come very close to the presence of a great love that lives within them, and they ran from it. I'll never forget this one guy who came to me for a while and then realized that if he went any further with this love, with the love that lives within him, and he was starting to feel it, that it would destroy everything that he had set up in his earthly life. His wife would leave him. His child would think of him as a fool and an idiot. It'd all be lost. Everything would be gone. And he came running into session with me and said, I can't do this. And I said, sit down, tell me. I can't. If I do this, I'll lose my job. I'll lose my wife. I'll lose my kid. I'll be living out of my van. That's what he said. So that's as, you know, this is the way the mind exaggerates. But that's what he thought. And that was his excuse out of the authentic. There you are. So when you think about it in the form of what is authentic, what is real, you have to answer for yourself. Is your reality the comfort of your body, your brain, your emotions? Is your reality only what touches your skin? Is your reality the pursuit of happiness? Trying to get that more than awakening to the love that lives so profoundly and lovingly inside you? No. People are going to go with the flesh and blood stuff, and they're going to go with the pursuit of some happiness, and that is never going to work as far as the meaning of life and sustaining that meaning. So what can I say to you? It's up to you. You have to define what is real for you and how you live in that real. And then from there, move on, move in, move away from your body and your mind and all of the stuff that it requires for happiness, which usually means that we betray our heart and our soul. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste, June. That was a great question. I've gotten some really awesome questions here. Last one comes from Hank. He does not tell me where he lives. Why is human love, as you say, so difficult? Why is it so hard to understand? Why is it so mean and soulless, Hank? He goes into a lot of other things about why it is this. Look, the human emotions are based in the premise of trying to survive. Our survival is something that we just don't really understand how ruthless we are about it. And when our sense of survival has been threatened in any way, shape, or form, it gets more and more and more difficult to sustain. And we do more and more ugly things by seeking some sort of survival mechanism that makes us happy. You're never going to be happy through survival. Never. So you have to look at it from the point of view that it is all about the state of love. And if you're not interested in love, you will only be interested in survival. You've got to decide, is it survival or is it love? Is it survival or is it love? And I know the question will come up in you, Hank, about can I survive and still love? Of course. What people don't understand is you will survive. But here's the thing, okay? And you gotta get this through your skull. We work hard to succeed in this world, sacrificing everything that is deeply important. But in inner work, we do the same kind of sacrifice, but for the sake of sacrifice itself. We give up those mentalities, those emotions that we think are the avenue, the path to pursuing happiness. We don't have a goal. Whenever there is a goal, there will be ruthlessness. There will be the idea of success and failure. But if you can go beyond the goal of thinking that if I achieve X amount of dollars, it will be, you know, fun and roses for the rest of my life and blah, blah. You got to give that kind of thing up. What do we sacrifice? Vengeance, pride, hatefulness that comes with vengeance and pride. Now, when you are seeking the pursuit of your own gratification, vengeance and pride are a very big thing. They're called in this world leverage. And if you have leverage, then you can do things to people that make them, well, subservient to your needs. And when people do that, which they do, they miss the meaning of life. And they force karma to have its way with them. We work hard not for success, but to come to the place where we are willing to sacrifice those things that are simply unnecessary. Unnecessary towards the means of our heart and our soul and attaining to them. In other words, in letting love live me. Hank, I hope that helped you. I really do. And I hope it serves you well. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there you are. We got another kind of a stinger program coming up tomorrow, and I hope you'll join me. Have a beautiful, beautiful 4th of July and a safe one. And please forgive me. Namaste.